Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio, a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota National Guard, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System, and Beyond the Yellow Ribbon. Get updates and show information at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Your host is former Command Senior Enlisted Leader for the Minnesota National Guard, retired Command Sergeant Major Doug Wortham.
On today's show, we have a conversation with a military spouse and longtime Soldier and Family Readiness Group volunteer, and then we'll get an update from the Command Senior Enlisted Leader. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Sean Menke.
Our state's Yellow Ribbon networks are an incredible resource as we work to connect service members, veterans, military families, employers, and communities. They help ensure the resilience of those who serve. Started right here in Minnesota, our Yellow Ribbon program is now the model for networks across the nation. Since we proclaimed our first Yellow Ribbon network in 2008, hundreds more have emerged in counties, cities, communities, and at companies statewide. These self-sustaining networks draw together agencies, community leaders, and volunteers. They strive to support the service members, veterans, and military families of any age and from any era that live and work in their area. The continued growth and improvement of this program are vitally important as service members and their families continue to adapt to increasing demands and training requirements as we see across the force. To all of our incredibly generous and dedicated Yellow Ribbon volunteers, thank you. Your help ensures our service members and their families remain resilient and ready to serve. If you are ready to join a Yellow Ribbon network near you or make your large company or community Yellow Ribbon, please visit mnbtyr.ng.mil. That's mnbtyr.ng.mil.
Thank you, General Menke. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Amy Wansed has served as a volunteer with the Minnesota National Guard Soldier and Family Readiness Group for more than 14 years. She's held multiple positions and is now the Soldier and Family Readiness Group Advisor in the Headquarters Support Company of the 34th Infantry Division. Amy earned a bachelor's degree in organizational management and communication from Concordia University, St. Paul. She advanced from her career in the insurance industry into a role homeschooling her four children. She continues to volunteer in the military and in her community. Amy and her husband, Chief Warrant Officer 3, Doug Watson, they've been married for 19 years with their four children ranging from the ages of 8 to 16. Amy's been through multiple deployments as a girlfriend, a spouse, and a mother. Here we are, Amy. Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you.
Well, thank you for being here, and thank you for your service. Although not in uniform, still great service to our country and, of course, in support of your husband. So thank you for all that you do there. So how about if we start with you? Tell us just a little bit about you, where you came from, and how you and Doug met.
Well, I am Minnesota born and raised. I grew up in Shakopee, Minnesota, moving to Burnsville and graduating from Burnsville Senior High School. I went to University of Minnesota Duluth originally for a civil engineering degree, or so I thought. After a year of doing civil engineer basics, I decided to take a break and move down to the cities and spend more time with my family and go to school and get a job at the same time. So I worked for Life Touch Inc. in Eden Prairie as a executive assistant. And I also worked out at Valley Fair doing photographs at the front entrance. And then my husband and I had met up at UMD and we continued our relationship over 2.5 years and eventually got engaged and married in 2005, and we moved out to Mayer, Minnesota for our first home and spent 9 years there, and then moved to Carver, Minnesota, and spent the last 6.5, 7 years there.
And was he serving already when you met him in the Minnesota National Guard?
Yes. He had signed on when he was 17.
Okay, so he had been serving for a few years. And you met, and what were your initial impressions about dating this guy who also was in the military?
He showed up in his uniform to campus one day, and I thought he was very attractive, and we had already been friends talking, and so I thought he was kind of goofy and nerdy, and I needed help in computer science, so I thought, why not ask him if he'd help me out? So we continued our conversations and eventually started dating, and And it spurred a relationship from there.
And was the uniform the dress uniform or the camouflage or fatigues, as they might call them?
The fatigues with the old beret.
Okay. But there's still something about someone in uniform, right?
Yeah, there was something about someone in uniform. And he's very nice, too. And he's also a little quiet. But once you get him talking, he'll keep talking. So
there you go. All right. So you guys, obviously, you meet and you foster this relationship. You guys are dating. You said that you bought a house then out in Mayer. And this was before the first deployment that you experienced.
We were getting a raise on our apartment at the time. They were going to up the rent. So we decided that it would be a better investment to buy our first home. So we started looking into that. And he was soon to be deployed potentially to Iraq. So we were looking to get that done sooner than later so that we would have a secure place for me to be with our dogs. And so we found a house that we really enjoyed. It was a new build. So we bought that out in Mayer. And then he deployed shortly after that, about 9 months later.
And was that kind of a shock that, you know, here you are now in this new house and he's going to be leaving?
Yeah, it was a little bit of a shock. I thought I would handle it well. But being out there with no family nearby, they were at least 45 minutes away, it was a bit boring.
Yeah.
I had some projects to do out there around the home, but it also was isolating because I didn't have a big sense of community, although the community did try to wrap their arms around me. My local church and some of the veteran organizations out there were very welcoming. They were parents of soldiers. They weren't spouses. And so it was sort of isolating in the fact that I didn't feel like I had somebody who knew what I was going through or about to be going through. And that's when I decided to go to one of the Soldier Family Readiness Group events because I wanted to find some community.
And now you were telling me kind of an interesting story about that. You drove an hour to go to this first event, and I'm guessing you had no idea what you're getting yourself into.
None.
And you met somebody there who then became a very good friend of yours and provided some good encouragement for you to continue your education.
Correct. Yep. I went to that first meeting and just went there with an open mind of, could I talk to somebody, at least have a little bit of fun, get to know what it's about. And if I didn't want to come back, then I didn't have to, but at least try. And I met another spouse, a friend of mine, and she was currently going to school for a degree. And we were talking and I had said that I was interested in finishing my degree. And we discussed more about that. And she said, I'd really encourage you to pursue that. You've got the time. What's holding you back? And she offered her home up to me that I could stay at her place while I would finish my degree because the school I chose to go to was in St. Paul. And so I would stay with her on weekends and we would hang out sometimes during the week if there was time with work schedules. And we formed a long-lasting bond. Yeah.
And obviously you had plenty of time on your hands because you said that you were already bored out in the place, so there was no excuse.
Right.
And so great encouragement. And were you able to go through and finish up the degree before the deployment ended, or how long were you in school for? Okay.
Yep, I finished up the degree 2 months before they were due to come back, and my husband got to come home for the ceremony. And so that was a cool experience. We didn't know until last minute that he was going to make it back, but that was really cool that he got to be there and be part of it.
Yeah. Do you recall what unit he deployed with at that time?
That was the 2 of the 147.
Okay.
Combat Aviation Brigade.
Aviation Brigade. Yeah, mm-hmm. Perfect. Okay. All right. Well, we'll talk more about some of that because that was just the first deployment that you experienced then as a girlfriend. And obviously, you guys then got married back in 2005. Mm-hmm. And then you experienced another deployment as this time as a spouse, but no kids yet.
That was the one with the spouse, as a spouse with no kids. The next one, we had young kids.
Okay. All right.
Yep.
Well, you know, as you look back now,
mm-hmm.
what do you think it would have been like had you not made that drive to spend that 1 hour to go experience a family readiness group, a meeting, a support meeting? What do you think that it would have been for you? How would it have been different?
I would have been more bitter. I was already getting kind of bitter.
Because he's gone.
Because he's gone. I had some friends, but they were in a different cycle of life than I was. I had a house and we were talking about kids. They were still finishing college, some of them going on to master's degrees. So we were just in different life cycles. And I was starting to get a little frustrated because although I had some community support through my church and through other organizations, I didn't feel like I had the support of someone who knew what I was going through. And so I probably, if I didn't go to that meeting, I likely would have just been angry and wanted him to get out.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. I think this is a good spot to take a break. Then we come back. I want to talk a little bit about the next deployments, the experience differences with the kids, of course. And then we really, really do want to talk about the family readiness aspect of things and how people can get involved in really what your role is. Okay?
Great.
All right. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Doug Wortham. I have Amy Watson in the studio with me. She's a volunteer with the Minnesota National Guard's Soldier and Family Readiness Group. She's been doing that for over 14 years. And Amy, before we went into break, we were talking about the deployment. You know, got connected with the Family Readiness Group, the Soldier and Family Readiness Group, and you know, you said that your involvement there probably curbed some bitterness, and we can understand that. So tell us, how many deployments total have you been involved with your husband?
Four total deployments.
Four total. So the first one was when you were single, when you guys were dating, and then three of them after you're married. And, you know, each of those deployments, obviously different phases of your life, from young kids to older kids. What was the most recent deployment?
They just got back from Kuwait this past December.
Okay.
So this past year.
And so he was over there with the 34th Infantry Division, the Red Bull Division, as a part of Operation Spartan Shield.
Correct.
And so tell us about that deployment. So we already know your kids were between the ages of 8 to 16. So now we're talking ages of 6.5, 7 to 15, somewhere in there. What kind of dynamic was that, you know, having now being this being your fourth deployment, mm-hmm. knowing what you already know, was it easier? Was it just different? What was it like for you?
Well, the deployment when my kids were younger was in 2018. And that was different because we also got the most snow on record that season. And that created its own level of challenges. I spent more time shoveling my driveway than I did, I think, cooking dinner.
So talk about bitterness now.
Yeah. But it was also fun. It was fun to get the kids out there and really shovel the driveway together and laugh about it because the snow was up to our hips almost.
Yeah.
And but that had its own challenges because then spring came and you had the melt and you had families in the unit whose basements were flooding and all kinds of different challenges with that. But with my own family, it was just that the kids, when they're really young, it's hard for them to understand a deployment.
Mm-hmm.
And this time, this past year, with the older kids, they really understand what's going on. The youngest being 8 years old, they're sad dad's missing their birthdays. They're sad that he's not there for the different phases of what we do in a summer. They're sad that he's missing their softball or their sports. So it's very different because they understand more, whereas when they were younger, they didn't notice as much.
Sure.
They were sad at times, but it was very small pieces.
Yeah. And if you've kept them involved doing things, you know, the time goes
Correct.
By a little bit faster. So
I did enjoy this time with them being older because there was more we could go do. We could go to Valley Fair. I could keep them busy going to museums. We did a lot of the Blue Star Museum program from June to September.
What is that?
You can get into museums as a military family for free. So we went to Split Rock Lighthouse for free. We went to the Bell Museum for free. You can take advantage. There's a whole list of museums all across the country that you can get into from June until September.
Because you have a family, a member, or spouse that's deployed.
Correct.
Oh, that's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I did not know about that. So that's a good bit of information.
Glen Sheen Mansion, all those you can get into for free or severely discounted.
Right. Well, that's awesome. Okay, so you've been involved with the Soldier and Family Readiness Group for more than 14 years. And what really led you to being actively involved? Because, you know, the before you guys got married in 05, you talked about making that trek down there. But, you know, so that's pre you actually being, you know, really involved in it. So what led you to saying, you know what, I'm going to start dedicating a bunch of time to this?
Well, when I went to that first meeting and met my friend, we stayed in communication, and she was in charge of our company or unit at the time, coordinating the different Soldier Family Readiness Group events. So I had said, is there a way I could support and have a role? Because her and I were already spending so much time together. I had said, is there something I can do to help out? And she said, we'd like you to be our event coordinator. It's an unofficial position within the Soldier Family Readiness Group, but it was just a way for me to volunteer and do something I'm pretty good at. I could make phone calls and set up bowling events and different activities for people to get together. And so I took on that role and set up a bowling event, and we set up a Christmas party, and we set up a Thanksgiving event. And that's what kind of got me into it. And I have been doing it various roles ever since, taking short breaks maybe for kids.
Sure. And so the role that you're in right now, what are the responsibilities that you have?
Well, the Soldier Family Readiness Advisor role is that you coordinate the team. So your team is made up of a Soldier Family Readiness Advisor. You also have a co-treasurer. Often our main treasurer, or sometimes the main and co-treasurer, are soldiers within the unit that manage the funds. We're only allotted so many funds per year. We can't go above that. We have certain restrictions for funding because it's not meant to make money. It's meant to help do small events to support the families in the unit.
The morale events.
The morale events, yeah. Correct. Yeah. But it's not a fundraising event. We're not supposed to be having high volumes of funds to do things, because they want it to try to be fair across the entire state, from small units to large battalion size events.
Okay.
So we have also a secretary who helps take the notes. We can assign other assorted roles. The roles kind of vary based on the needs of the company and what the commander's idea is of what he wants to accomplish, because it is a commander's program.
Okay. And so does that mean then that you have a sit down with the commander, whomever that is, and kind of talk about some initiatives or the direction that they want you to go?
Yes. So I will offer to sit down with the commander, or we often do things over email or phone calls. And then it's really the direction they want to go. I may pitch ideas that me and the committee decide, or the group decide, that we are interested in pursuing. We put forth the framework or the plan, and they agree or deny it.
Okay. And when we talk about an advisor for the Soldier and Family Readiness Group, one of the things you were talking about before is that, you know, soldiers in the unit are pretty geographically displaced. It's not like it used to be. You know, back when I first joined the National Guard, it wasn't uncommon for, you know, 90% of the unit or better to be right in that same local community. And you were saying that there's some troubles that come along with it now because you are so spread out.
Correct. We have people that are geographically dispersed all the way to Nebraska, North Dakota, South Dakota. We have soldiers that sometimes are up by Duluth, Bemidji area, all the way down to Iowa, and sometimes further, sometimes on toward the coast. But where they live, they will come in for their drill and do their drill weekends and then go back to their homes. So we have to find ways to accommodate connecting with all these families that are geographically dispersed. They may only have one other family in their community that is a National Guard or an Army family, who knows what they're going through.
And you're doing these events, which if they're out of the state of Minnesota, chances are you've probably never even met many of these people.
Correct.
And so if you're not able to have these family members participate in these events that you might be hosting locally, you know, bowling, for example, what is it that you're trying to be able to accomplish with them? What need are you trying to satisfy?
Mostly it's connection and community. I always want to foster a sense of community for our families, because that's what I craved in the beginning. That's what I wanted, was a sense of, I know some people that are going through what I'm going through. I might not know them extremely well. Maybe those friendships will foster over time, but I know someone who, if I'm really struggling, I can reach out to them. And that's what I aim to be, is me and my team aim to be those people. That we have a Facebook group, they can reach out to us through that. We have an email address for the Soldier Family Readiness Group, they can reach out through that. We have Soldier Family Readiness Support Advisors that are paid through family programs, and they can reach out to those people as well. And they're at the unit, so their soldier can physically go talk to them, or they can call them on the phone, and they can provide resources too.
Awesome. We'll take a quick break here. We'll come back. We'll talk about some of the partnerships that have been developed with other organizations, and we'll get into a little bit more detail about the National Guard Soldier and Family Readiness Group. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Doug Wortham. We'll continue our conversation with Amy Watson in just a moment, but first it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, Brad Lindsay.
You can drive home your support for Minnesota military members, veterans, and their families by purchasing a Support Our Troops license plate for your car or motorcycle. The Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, together with the Minnesota Department of Military Affairs, will use your annual contribution for the betterment of military families as well as for unhoused and underserved veterans statewide. Deployment and military service can put a strain on families, finances, and health. The proceeds from Support Our Troops license plates help in a number of ways, such as providing family, financial, and mental health counseling, offering emergency financial assistance, helping homeless veterans secure shelter and access to benefits, and delivering community seminars on health conditions associated with military service. For more information on these special Support Our Troops license plates, visit MinnesotaVeteran.org and search under Benefits and Resources.
Thank you, Commissioner Lindsay. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Amy Watson is still in the studio with me, and we're talking about the National Guard Soldier and Family Readiness Group. And Amy, what I'd like to talk about or ask you about is, you know, you want to create this sense of community, and one of the ways in which you can do it is, you know, getting people together. You talked about events. You said, you know, hey, maybe it's a bowling thing, maybe it's some other event, and things like this require relationships. You rely on communities and organizations to kind of help. I'm just wondering if you might want to talk a little bit about, you know, really the importance of the community involvement and organizational support.
The community involvement and organizational support is vital. We couldn't do this without them. We have had, we put on a family day every year, and as long as the commanders want that, but we've put it on the last 4 years. It's almost like a mini carnival. We get the state troopers involved, the sheriff's department of Ramsey County involved. We get the fire department involved. In fact, I think they like to come and outdo each other because we've had the water patrol out there, the SWAT out there. They like to bring vehicles for our touch a truck.
Yeah.
We've had legions come out and support us and help us run a kitty carnival at this event. We've had Beyond the Yellow Ribbon events. We did a paint night with one of the Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, the Hugo Beyond the Yellow Ribbon supported us with that, and we did a paint night for families during the deployment. It was a great way to get people out and just having a little bit of a fun time and not having to think about the stressors of the of what's going on. So we also have used the Blue Star Moms, have come out and run our popcorn machine for us at this family day event, and we just could not do this without the continued support of our Beyond the Yellow Ribbon networks, our legions, VFWs, and Blue Star Mom groups. We just wouldn't be able to put all this together and support the families in the same manner that we've been able to for the past 10 years.
And beyond the events that you will organize for the family members to participate in, do you receive calls when families are in a time of need or maybe they're in a crisis?
Some families will reach out to us because I've been around a while. They're familiar with me. They're comfortable reaching out to me for resources or ideas, because sometimes it's easy to bounce it's easier to bounce off ideas or problems to somebody else and get a groupthink going mm-hmm. than it is often to try to solve the problem on your own. So we encourage them to reach out. We keep it anonymous. We get them the connection or the resource they're looking for. If I can't supply them with the direct contact information, I do have people that we contact at Family Programs through our Soldier Family Readiness Support coordinators, and they will either directly reach out to the family. They can provide things like financial assistance, food assistance. We've had situations of furnaces going out, and they've been able to help with supplying some assistance with that. There are many different resources we have access to that is unique to Minnesota. They don't have that in every state.
Yeah. And that must be an interesting dynamic, because here in Minnesota, which is where, you know, the Yellow Ribbon Network started, you know, not every state has this vast network of organizations and entities that are a part of this. And so how do you approach that? How do you help somebody when they call you and they're like, I need help, but I'm here in Nebraska? How can you help someone like that?
First, you just want to reassure them that you're there for them. You want to get them their needs. You want to calm them down. Then it's identifying what the most critical needs are. And I generally try to make a list of what those things are. And then I will reach out to the Soldier Family Readiness Support, or we'll reach out to other organizations that we have connections with. And we will try to get them the support they need. I've even gotten on the phone and called other places in other states to identify, can this Legion in Nebraska help out? Can this group over in Nebraska help out? That, you know, we've done those kinds of things to try to help out families. And then sometimes it's just passing it off to someone at Family Programs to help.
Sure. Now, is there any type of a story or something that really jumps out to you, or like, wow, I mean, I'm so glad we were able to assist this person, or something that maybe you were thinking it might be an impossible task, and here it is, you know, you were able to get it done through this vast network of people and support that you have.
We did have a family during the 2018 deployment whose family member passed away on an airplane. They were in Florida at the time for a family vacation, and I received a phone call that the spouse was calling me to say, I don't know, we don't know what to do. We're stuck in Georgia during a golf tournament, the Augusta Open, with Tiger Woods playing. And there was no hotels available that weren't astronomically priced. So they were struggling, and we were making phone calls to the area bases to see if there was on-base housing. We were making phone calls to see if we could find them just a place to be comfortable while they dealt with this tragic situation. Me and two other people were actively working on getting them some gift cards so they could get food and some shelter, even in just a hotel for a night, if we could find a spot. So that one I thought was going to be extremely tough, because it was not in our area. It was in another state. It was a big golf tournament going on, making it even more clustered and chaotic. And we ended up helping this family pull through and get some shelter for temporary. They ended up securing somewhere to stay for longer term, and took care of of waiting for their family member to be addressed by the coroner so that they could process on how to go about the funeral. So,
wow. I would imagine that's not something you ever thought that you would have to deal with, is, you know, my family member just died on this airplane, and we're making an emergency landing. You would tell me before they made that emergency landing in Georgia, and now what are they going to do?
Correct. I never thought I'd be dealing with something like that, but it was very moving, because she was just so thankful to have a friendly voice on the other line to ask questions, to jump ideas off of, to discuss some things, or just to vent. And we also had to work behind the scenes to help get her spouse home for the funeral. So it was a multifaceted problem at the time that we were happy to help with and help her find some resolution to that.
So the month of May is Military Spouse Appreciation Month, and Military Spouse Appreciation Day was on May 9th. As you kind of reflect upon, you know, your time, obviously as a girlfriend, as a spouse, as a mother, as a volunteer with the family support the network itself. How would you say that, you know, this has really impacted you as a military spouse?
Well, it's opened my eyes to everything that's possible while your soldier's deployed. I mean, I never thought I could take on some of the challenges I have taken on with my soldier deployed. I've built a concrete pad for our air conditioning unit. I have taken apart a washing machine. I have tackled, you know, hip-high snow outside, all while trying to also help other families who are going through similar situations. But it gives you a sense of camaraderie. It gives you a sense of pride. I enjoy what I do. I really enjoy being there for families, hearing their stories, hearing how they overcame a challenge during the deployment. It's always a cycle. We're in the deployment, you're out of the deployment, and it's really quiet, especially for the Soldier Family Readiness Group because soldiers are home. Little problems might come up or resources are being sought after, and then you go back into preparing for the next one. And that's the training cycle, the 2 weeks in the summer and 1 week in a month situation. But it's still great, the relationships you build along the way, the people that said, I couldn't have done this without your experience or meeting you, or I made these friends at this event. And those are the stories I live for. It's really made me continue doing what I do.
Well, that's awesome. Thank you for sharing that. We're going to take another quick break here, and then we'll come back and we'll wrap up and we'll kind of talk about how people can get involved and the things that you're looking for as an advisor and, you know, what kind of support you can still get from others in our community. Okay?
Okay.
All right. Please stay with us. This is Minnesota Military Radio. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. In the studio with me is Amy Watson, who's with the Minnesota National Guard Soldier and Family Readiness Group and the advisor for the Headquarters Support Company with the 34th Infantry Division. All right, Amy, so we've got just a couple of minutes left, and I want to make sure that our audience knows how they can support you. You are saying that, you know, you want people to be involved. So tell us, what's the importance of involvement? And then two, how can people support?
The importance of involvement is that if you are a military spouse, parent, sister, brother, whatever, connection, if you have a military connection, it's important because it provides that community and allows you to also give back while feeling supported yourself. It helps give you some information, maybe in a little earlier than you might get it otherwise. And it's important to help support those around us who might not have anybody. So you don't have to also have a military connection to volunteer. We have volunteers that are just one-time volunteers who help out at a family day or help out at one event, and then that's it. They just stay on a list, and we email out as needed. We have volunteers that come in and want to help monthly. And we have volunteers that are called statutory volunteers, like what I am, where you are on the committee to help form the ideas of what we're going to do, when we're going to do it, and discussing with the commander and the command team about how to execute these or when we can execute these. So you don't need to have a military connection. You could just be a community member, someone passionate about the military, someone who's had military connection in the past. We'll take anybody.
And so we can direct people to the Minnesota Military Radio website, where we'll have your email address on there or the email address for the Soldier Family Readiness Group, and then they'll be able to contact the group, and then from there can make a connection as needed. So anybody who's interested, go to that website. I do want to ask one more question about military spouses. Look, we know that the service member, when they deploy, they have it easy, right? I'm using air quotes. The family that stays behind has a real difficult job because now they're managing the entire household. If you wanted to give a message to employers or people in our community specifically about military spouses, what would that message be?
If you notice somebody or have somebody in your organization that spouse is deploying, they're not going to ask for help. Just offer something. Hand them a gift card for a meal. Hand them or bring them a meal and drop it on their porch, or say, hey, I'm going to order you pizza for next Tuesday. Those are the things that matter. Those are the things that help out a spouse when you're just dealing with fatigue from all the things you have to tackle. You're now taking care of the house or taking care of the kids, the dogs, everything that wasn't your entire responsibility before. So having somebody just provide a meal for you makes a huge difference. I had people from my church just provide meals, and it was one less thing to have to think about.
Yeah, so what I'm hearing you say is often it's just better to do it or say I'm going to do it versus saying, hey, what do you need? Because
correct,
someone's going to say nothing. I'm okay.
If you don't know what to do, hand them a gift card.
Yeah.
Because honestly, they'll sometimes be like, I just don't know what to do for dinner. We have 20 minutes till my kid's soccer game, and I got to also take another one to fast pitch softball. And you're running between places, and McDonald's might be on the way or in some other organization that you need takeout from, and you're just going to have to do that for the night. So just supporting them in those small ways makes a major difference.
Awesome. Well, hey, we appreciate you joining us here on Minnesota Military Radio, and thanks for your service, thanks for your support, and thanks for all the volunteering that you do to support our service members and their families.
Thank you.
You bet. That is Amy Watson with the Minnesota National Guard's Soldier and Family Readiness Group, who's the advisor out at the Headquarters Support Company with the 34th Infantry Division. Calling in from the Minnesota National Guard Headquarters is the Command Senior Enlisted Leader, Command Chief Master Sergeant Lisa Erickson. Chief, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Well, hello. Nice to be on the air with you today.
Good to hear you. I know that you've been getting after it. I mean, obviously, we just celebrated Memorial Day, and you know, there's been some ons and offs about whether we should say that we should celebrate. But as we talked about here on Memorial Day, while we were able to broadcast live for the 3 hours from 6 to 9, we talked about that it's okay to celebrate, because you know what, those of us that have lost those we served with would really want us to be able to do that. And while we're celebrating, to recognize and never forget their service. What would you say about that, Chief?
I would say, you know, I had the privilege to speak at Sunrise Cemetery in Hermantown, Minnesota, and I kind of shared the same message. I said, you know, people look at it as a three-day weekend, and they're going to have a barbecue and all of that. And really, Memorial Day is for those that are still with us, right? And we should, as family members of the fallen, remember the good times with them. So it can be a celebration. So, yeah, it was great. A lot of people in attendance in Hermantown, a lot of veterans up in that neck of the woods. So it was a great, great, great opportunity that I was given.
And so you went from Hermantown, then down to Marshall, Minnesota. You were down there for a pre-deployment ceremony for Alpha Battery, one of the 151 field artillery. How did that event go?
Oh, man, let me tell you, we walked into the Red Baron Arena, and if you're from that neck of the woods, you know exactly what I'm talking about. What a phenomenal facility. And the families and the community that was rallying around these soldiers that are getting ready to walk out the door, I think they're departing this afternoon on a bus. Just a really great way. Senator Klobuchar was there in person to thank them for what they do. A couple messages from other legislative folks. It was just a really great opportunity to see the soldiers with their families and have that one big last farewell. Honored to be a part of it. We were able to take a few of us, there was probably six of us from the Joint Force Headquarters that were down there to help send them off. And yeah, it's an honor and a privilege to get to do that stuff.
And you know, and Chief, just another reminder that, you know what, we still have members of our Minnesota National Guard deploying. So, you know, we should remember that.
Yeah, pretty much at all times we have somebody across the pond doing something, you know, so we got to keep remembering them and keep them in our thoughts and prayers.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
Their families.
Well, and I know that it's always good to be there and show that support to not only the service members, but then those families, family members that are
absolutely
in attendance as well. So that was a big
thing. You know what they always
say? What's that?
It's easier for the deployer than it is for the family, right? The deployer walks out the door and has one thing to worry about. The family is left behind with everything else to worry about. So
Yeah.
That's who we really need to support.
Absolutely. Chief, we've got just over a minute left here, and I want to make sure we talk about another big meeting you had, an important meeting where you get an opportunity to check in with some of the congressional delegation. I understand that you just had a meeting with some of the delegates recently.
We did. Actually, from the representatives that are in district here in the state, they came to the 133rd. We had a luncheon, and we heard some great things, some opening comments from the General Mankey, thanking them for all they've done. We were able to give an award to Connie, who was then with Senator McCollum's office, or Congressman McCollum's office for the longest time, so we gave her a farewell award. And then we had Josh Pennington come from Camp Ripley to talk about the Sentinel landscape and all the great things that they are doing up at Camp Ripley to maintain that landscape and keep the integrity of what we've got in northern Minnesota.
Yeah, and to keep Camp Ripley the jewel of the north, or star of the north, as they like to call it.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. We love that place.
Yep, absolutely. Well, hey, Chief, we appreciate you, and really glad that you had the opportunity to call in today and talk to us on Minnesota Military Radio.
Sounds great.
All right. And thank you all for tuning in to Minnesota Military Radio. We appreciate your continued support. We strive to bring you quality content each week, and we look forward to hearing your feedback and suggestions for future topics and guests. Please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com, click on Contact Us to send us your thoughts. Also, if you missed our three-hour live show on Memorial Day, go to our website to see the guest lineup and get the playback. Please join us next week when we'll discuss chronic pain with the Minneapolis VA and get more information about the Minnesota Veterans Assistance Fund. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Doug Wortham, your host on Minnesota Military Radio. I hope you have a productive week and you find a way to thank and honor those who have and those who continue to serve and sacrifice so we can enjoy the liberty and freedom this great country has to offer.